What up? I'm Rock Harper. You're now listening to the Chef Rock Experiment, the podcast. Your journey to entertainment, empowerment, and education in the food business begins right now. Let's go. This episode of the Chef Rock Experiment, Chef Drink Edition, is brought to you by International Gourmet Foods. The mission at IGF is to cultivate an elevated, valuable relationship with their customers that is rich in quality products and real food knowledge. They believe that quality is not a luxury, but rather something they can provide every customer through their exceptional products and service. Visit IGF-INC.com for more information. That's IGF-INC.com. And be sure to tell them the Chef Rock sent you. Yeah, Roland, if you could just say your name, your company, and what you do.
Ross Riddle. I have Hashi Chow, which is a pop-up and private chef slash catering and events company.
Excellent, excellent. And how long, welcome, first of all. Let me not get too far with the questions to Chef Drink. How are you digging the show so far?
It's great. It's pretty cool to have it here in Virginia Beach and in a brewery nonetheless. But it's great to have sort of more of an intimate feel than some giant, like, fancy food show.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of close. You get to see a lot of fellow industry mates. Mm-hmm. And it's nice. I like the nighttime thing.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier how it was like around my bedtime already these days.
Really? You getting to bed pretty early?
Try to, yeah.
I'm going to dig a little bit into, we were talking off mic about mind, body, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm really heavy on sleep and just how powerful it is. So we'll get into that. But how many hours are you getting?
It depends. 6 is my hope. Of course, they say 8 is a good number, but 6 is always a good hope.
Yeah.
You know, usually it winds up with she and I talking later than we plan and then finally going to sleep. So
yeah,
6 is the hope. But
and she is, they can't see it.
Kelly.
All right.
Kelly O'Brien, acupuncturist extraordinaire.
Say hello to the people.
Hello, people.
All right. And did you all meet at acupuncture?
Yeah, and through, okay. So actually, incidentally, through some mutual industry mates as well that are not necessarily in the industry from a cooking standpoint, but from more of a media standpoint.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was referred to her, and then we figured out that we also had some mutual friends, and that mutual friend happens to be a guy who was covering stuff on my at the time I was doing a food truck, so he was covering a lot of stuff on that. So
okay.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of food are you doing?
So hashi means bridge in Japanese. It shares the same phonetics as the word for chopsticks as well. So it's kind of the idea of, I came up with it actually back in like 2007. I was with a guy who promised me the world as far as a restaurant empire is concerned. He was the money person. And after the financial crisis hit, that all went out the window. But at the time I was thinking about what would I call an Asian inspired place. At the time we were doing an Italian restaurant. The next step was to go into something Asian or, you know, he wanted to do like a gastropub kind of place. So the Asian thing was going to be hashi, which I was trying to think of a term that bridges East and West in, mm-hmm. in Japanese. So that's where that came from.
And what did you do? What got you into Japanese
culture? I used to work at a place locally called Mizuno's. And mm-hmm. At the time it was like the only there's a couple Japanese owned and operated restaurants in Virginia Beach. There was a place called Tokyo Inn, there's Kyushu, and then there was Mizuno's. And so I was working for an Italian chef from Naples. And he was like, this is the only place that I eat sushi. I don't trust any of these other places.
Yeah.
So, and I saw some of the stuff he and his wife and his daughter were bringing into the restaurant to go. They were doing trade. And when I left the Italian place, I decided to seek employment at Mizuno's, just thinking I'd be front of the house, because I used to do both front and back.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you have a chef coat? And I was like, yep. So from that point on, it was back of the house.
Yeah.
And he kind of broke me down and rebuilt me with sort of their Japanese knife skills and organization and all that stuff.
So what knives do you, what's your knife?
I have a Togiharu knife, which I think is a brand that's kind of, a producer that's kind of like specific to Korin, which is a importer up in New York. I used to rock the Globals years ago, which I still do, on a home basis. And yeah, I don't feel like I need to have like $1,000 Damascus steel in my hands because, right. You know, I get more utilitarian than finite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we were, tell me how your day to day looks.
Right now it's based on the, so far it's been just kind of weekend pop-ups, either at breweries. We did one, I feel like I'm missing something that was like kind of, oh, at the Birch, which was interesting. It's a tap room out in Norfolk, and we did, they had Hitachi no Nest beer, which is a Kyuchi brewery from Japan. So they tapped me to kind of do something more Japanese inspired there. So that was a little bit, not to say that it was out of the realms of what we normally do with the brewery thing, but it was very specific, and we got this like A5 Wagyu from Hitachi that the owner Malia has a connection to. So that was pretty amazing. Prior to that, I've done like holiday parties for people on a large scale. There's a place in Norfolk that is owned by the digital agency called Grow. They have a Enjoy pop-up space. Mm-hmm. So I did a 3-night run there doing sort of a Japanese set menu. It was a ticketed event and that was really cool. She helped me out. We did like some natural wines and sake and some fun beers, so that was really cool. And the goal is to hopefully figure out what a brick and mortar looks like, which has been something that's been on my mind for at least the last 10 years of a 20 so odd year career. Yeah. But it's a wild ride, as you know, as we were talking about, and so still trying to figure out what that looks like, but it seems like it's kind of coming into focus.
Yeah. Well, never is it's never done.
Mm-mm.
You know, even when you get to that, there'll be something else. So
for sure,
that's the journey, right?
Yeah.
Pop-ups, they're sort of they're a model now in itself, like fast casual, mm-hmm. pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
What a couple pros and cons to people who are listening? Like?
I'm 40 years old now.
Are you?
Yep. And lugging stuff around is not as fun as it
used
to be.
You look good, man. I mean, not that
thank
I'm 42. It's not that you're like, damn, you look 40.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no. For chefs who've been doing this for a long time, you're not like hunched over and angry and, you know.
Well, that comes with the wellness thing, I think. In the last 2 years, I've been doing yoga. Been trying to break the rut, the mold, because we definitely get into that, like your muscles and your skin and everything just grows into this, that hunch. And then some of the nighttime habits. But at any rate, pop-ups are amazing. Much like the food truck was amazing in the sense that you're going around and you're at a different scene, and you can change and morph to that scene. You can try out a new concept while you're doing it. It's a great way to test things, but from a long-term aspect, it's after doing the truck for 3.5 years and then I was getting ready to open a restaurant or thinking about opening a restaurant when I decided to sell a truck and then had to take care of some personal matters in life. And now that I'm kind of getting back to this, it's like, well, the pop-ups are fun and it's a great way to kind of hone in on that thing that I left behind initially, mm-hmm. but it's time to get down to business and figure it out because
people need to have access to your food and what you do all the time. Because pop-ups aren't a guarantee, so people get you when they get you. But I think for him and what he does, people want something solid. They want to know where he's going to be all the time. So I think we're moving in the direction of brick and mortar just because of that reason. Like people like, where are you going to be? Well, I don't know. I don't know yet. But they want you all the time. So I think we're moving in that direction.
Well, for sure. And that was the one thing with the truck initially was like, the truck could be the thing that carries the gospel for the restaurant. You know, it's like it's spreading the message. But yeah. I learned a lot of lessons that like what happens on the truck and the outdoors and with the elements doesn't always translate to what goes on indoors and to what maybe would be served on a plate that you don't throw away.
Mm-hmm.
The food might translate differently. It's all kind of a give and take, and it's definitely been a big learning lesson. So pros are that flexibility of schedule and the ability to test your ideas out, to try to dial them in, really learn on your toes for sure. I had to think on your feet and figure out if circuit breakers are popping at the place that you're at because you didn't thoroughly check it, or they told you that they were set and they really weren't. Then you have to figure out how you're going to make the night work. Or if you forgot one ingredient that's on the menu, then you know you're kind of asked out. So,
yeah.
The cons, of course, are those kinds of things. And it's tough, man. It's tough. You know, and you got to have a little separate commissary or kitchen that you're working out of, and it's a grind. And I work it alone as far as the actual, like, for the most part, a lot of the prep and a lot of the day-to-day thinking about things. And then when it comes time to be able to get down to the actual crunch time of the event, it's then I can kind of afford to bring people into the picture to work with me and to alleviate some of that load.
Yeah.
But it's great that I have the moral support that I do here around the clock.
Yes.
From Kelly. So
I see. She's like,
yeah.
She's your let's go, baby. Let's
yeah.
get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can dig it.
I feel the same way about her yeah. practice as well as an acupuncturist. You know, mm-hmm. I want to see that take off at some point. So we're both trying to figure out how this wellness and food thing looks without it being like a spa.
Yeah. Yeah.
No offense to spas and fancy places, but people are waving to us from fans. Behind a glass yeah. plate here as we sit in the brewing facility at yeah. Smart Mouth Pilot House.
Do you know them?
We have a clear okay. glass all right. plate okay. between us and the crowd.
Yeah.
IGF is proud to launch two new additions to the product family. Both lines, Meadows Pride Farm Lamb and Mancini Pasta, share a unifying theme of farmers working closely and respectfully with the land around them to produce the highest quality items. Despite the geographic distance, these producers share a common lifestyle of living amongst the fruits of their labor and being actively involved with the full life cycle of their products. Visit IGF-Inc.com for more information and make sure you tell them Chef Rock sent you.
I guess that's a great time to segue to talking about wellness in this industry. We chatted before I pressed record. So many questions. I'm probably gonna call you for an interview.
Sure.
But so many questions. Where do we start? Like, where do we start in this industry?
Well, I feel like, you know, the one thing I remember, this is before Bourdain wrote Kitchen Confidential.
Yeah.
This is like 1997. I was working at that Italian restaurant, Pasta and Pani. Angelo and Maria were like ahead of their time in our area because he was doing from scratch cooking, like on a large scale, like pasta manufacturing, pasta production anyway, and stocks and sauces and dessert. Everything was from scratch. And at the time, I was just a young, dumb teenager, high school, coming in there half baked.
Right.
Just telling him I was tired. For whatever reason, when they were like, what's wrong with you? Anyway, but I was busting tables and I fell in love with something as simple as like their pomodoro sauce. And it was a different form of Italian than I'd ever experienced. He always said that like he was straight Italian, whereas like something like veal parmesan was American Italian. And if he ever ran that as a special, he called it veal Americana, not veal parmesan. But at any rate, I was getting servers to buy me alcohol underage. And there was just this whole party, raucous atmosphere to the restaurant business. And the first job I ever had was because I got in trouble for smoking pot from my dad, and he forced me to get a job dishwashing. And lo and behold, I'm on a shift and the dishwasher's like, yo, you want to go smoke? And I was like, I don't smoke cigarettes. And he's like, I'm talking about a blunt.
Right.
You know, it's like, and I was like, this is the best punishment ever in a way. Even though like the next day when I had to spray out trash cans on the shift, it was like, this is the worst job ever.
Right.
And I swore I would never work in restaurants again after that one gig at Tandem's Pine Tree Inn. But
20 years later.
Right, exactly. So you look at stuff like the Kitchen Confidential, and I feel like that there's definitely this glorification of chefdom, of this certain, like, you see on Facebook with like 20 reasons you know you're a chef. And a lot of it's built around this idea of like being in the trenches, and it is a hardcore grind, and it is this like, and it's an interesting industry that draws a certain personality, and it accepts kind of anybody who comes into the play, no matter what it is your culture is, or what your, you could be into goth, you could be into hip hop, you could be into whatever, but somehow it becomes this like, just, you know, wild family.
Yeah.
And sometimes that family's feeding off of all kinds of crazy energy. And when you're working nights, you're like working the opposite hours of everybody else. Typically you get off of work and you're catching up to the rest of the world. And it, you know, it's like one way to go blow off steam is to go have drinks and talk about all the stuff that happened during the night and how tickets got caught up because of this, that, or another. And there's lots of other elements that get involved in just drinking. And it's it just becomes this like whole thing that somehow in some people's eyes, it's like part of the business. It's just what you do. But I started to see it as like, this is not sustainable. And why, how, from even from a business standpoint, it's like, how are you going to support this? Because I've worked for chefs that like were, they own the restaurant and they were part of this, part of the party. And it's, and also sending around shots back to the kitchen because we did a great job the first turn. But what about turn two and three? And how's cleanup going to go when I have to manage this crew that's already had a shot of, you know, liquor at 6:30 or 7 o'clock? And some people can get by on that, but I don't think it's good. And, it's okay to let off some steam, but there has to be balance, you know? And I feel like, how did we get here? Who knows? I think, you know, Bourdain does say a good part in his book about being a vocational profession at first.
Right.
That will, and a lot of the guys that I saw at Possum Pony were like older heads. They had bust their asses in something like Johnson & Wales. There wasn't a lot of illustrious celebridom TV stuff behind it yet at that point.
Right.
Then we fast forward into the early 2000s, mid 2000s, and all of a sudden it becomes so much more.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't even, it's hard for me to even relate to some of the people who are even 5 years younger than me, that but even 10 years younger than me, who are watching some of these things that it's like you have to have an entire sleeve of tattoos, smoke cigarettes, have the tweezers in the pockets. And I'm not knocking any of that stuff, but it's like, how do you identify with just keeping your head down and cooking and doing well at your craft versus trying to portray an image?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
it's, well, we're in the age of imagery.
For sure.
Right? It's sort of, it's that first almost, and not just in cooking, but just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well,
it's
well, with technology and, and progressing to where we are now from 10 years ago, it's like people see things, they kind of want to emulate that. There's pictures of overhead views of circular plates and hands crafting stuff, and those hands have tattoos all over them. Or what? And again, I'm not knocking any of that stuff. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But how can we turn technology to one, stop some of the glorification of the bad traits, two, maybe just focus on cooking and stop focusing on trying to make a great picture, because we do need a great workforce out there. And that's something I'm also afraid of when it comes time to try to open my own brick and mortar, is that I hear nothing but horror stories about how people are so unloyal and shifty and just can't stay in one place. And understand, like when I was working at Possum Pony, for instance, I stayed on pantry for like 6 to 8 months before they allow me to get on pizza station.
Right.
At a wood burning oven.
It's like a privilege.
Yeah.
And now it's not so.
Right. And at the other place in Norfolk that I got into, it was like, you had to start at the bottom, even if you had experience, to prove yourself and then work your way up and be patient about it.
Yeah.
And then get to know your comrades. And now it's just, I really don't know actually.
Yeah.
But
do you think like, you know, so I was talking to Jason Alley, who you mentioned earlier last night, and I think it's really important that
as a company dedicated to diversity in both workforce and inventory, IGF strives to simplify the chaos of the food industry by bringing customers the products they need. Their passion is for superior ingredients and the best possible food experience from the warehouse to your clients. Visit IGF-INC.com for more information. That's IGF-INC.com. And make sure you tell them Chef Rock sent you. Harper, and you've been listening to the Chef Rock Experiment podcast. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you've made it this far, take a moment to head on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another episode of the Chef Rock Experiment, TCRX. Until then, thank you for listening.